Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the one way to the pearly gate. Through Christ and his gospel, we must obey him. Appreciate so much your presence and the visitors that are with us. We're delighted to have you. We're glad you've come and trust you'll be able to come our way again in the near future. My sermon topic this morning is when God says, stop praying. I always have to give this for Jim. He makes the tapes and he puts the titles on the sheet and on the tape. So I have to give him a title. So when God says, stop praying. There are many scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, that teach Christians to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean every moment of every minute, of every hour, of every day. It means to pray regularly. In Romans 12, verse 8, continuing instant in prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, men ought to always to pray. James 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that doeth evil. And just one more, there are others I could offer. But 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, obviously, these passages teach that we should be busy at prayer. But the Bible also teaches there are situations when we should stop praying. And I want to focus our attention upon them for a few minutes this morning, when we ought not pray. In fact, the matter is, we can't pray to God. One is the alien sinner is to stop praying. I know that's not a Christian, but nevertheless, the alien sinner isn't to pray for the forgiveness of his sins. God won't hear that prayer. He won't forgive a man who's an alien. I mean a child of the kingdom of darkness. The Lord won't pardon his sins through prayer. Now, I grew up in that atmosphere down in eastern Kentucky. We used to go to service down the road to Holiness Church. They were fine people. And in fact, the woman who ran the old country store, she and her sister ran it. Fine people. Hadn't been for them, a lot of us starved to death during the Depression. You could go to the store and she'd let you have it on credit. A lot of times, I'm sure she never got paid. But they taught that you pray through, and I've seen different ones come to the mourner's bench. They were after me a time or two. But I didn't believe that. I had some interest in it. I wondered what was going on. I'm just a young fella. And I'd see some of them who prayed through, they said, and others never made it. That was always baffling to me. Why the Lord saved some of them and didn't save the others. I think it probably was to them too. But their explanation was that there's something they weren't giving up. They thought they were. They didn't know anything. They weren't surrendering. But they didn't pray through. Well, if they'd known the scriptures as they ought, they would have taught them differently. The Bible teaches that God only hears his own. But anyhow, in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, we have a good example of a man who was to quit praying, who was an ailing sinner. That was Saul of Tarsus. Luke records his conversion in Acts, the ninth chapter. Here he is at Damascus up in Syria. And verse 10 of Acts 9, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now God will hear the sinner's prayer. He heard Saul's. But I didn't what I said a while ago. I said he won't forgive a sinner, alien sinner. He won't pardon him through prayer. God saw that Saul was praying, but he made arrangements to bring a disciple, a preacher to him, to tell him words whereby he could be saved. Preach to him the gospel. In the 22nd chapter of Acts, when Paul was before the Jewish people and rehearsing his conversion at Damascus, among other things, in verse 16 of Acts chapter 22, he says that Ananias came to him. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Quit praying, Saul. You arise and you be baptized. I heard the story. I don't know how true it is. Sometimes these stories get started and there's not any basis for them. But I heard a story years ago where a fellow was arrested for reading Acts 22, verse 16. He went to one of these services where the preacher was inviting everybody to come and pray through. And before the service was over, this fellow who's visiting raised his hand, wanted to know if he could say something. And so they said, go ahead. Well, they gave him permission to speak, but anyhow, he got up and read Acts 22 and verse 16. He said, you have these people praying, and the Bible says they ought to get up. Quit praying. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God says to the ailing sinner to stop praying. You can't be saved that way. And yet I hear these preachers on radio and television talk about just getting down before your radio or TV and pray to the sinner's prayer and God will forgive. I don't read anything about that in this book. That's not here. I hear Norm Livingston, you know, he runs a station over here at WMMX. Norm will tell you tomorrow about what a great service they had today. But anyway, in all of that, he'll probably talk about how many were saved. And they got them praying through. Well, they weren't saved. They didn't pray through either. Why didn't he tell those people, those poor, lost, ignorant people, what the Bible says? Why didn't he read what Ananias said to Saul? Thy tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. That's what the scripture said. I was working right after I got out of college one summer to pay off my college debts down at the atomic plant at Piketon, Ohio. We were constructing the thing. And there's an older gentleman there. He may have been younger than I am now, but he looked like he was aged. he was always quoting the Bible. And one day, we got in a discussion about how we're saved. He said, you pray through. I said, where do you read that in the Bible? And you know what he quoted? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, I said, that doesn't say anything about an alien sinner. That was written to Christians. Some of the other fellows said, well, they believe he's got the old man. Well, I didn't amount to much of an argument. You see, wasn't anything deep about it. But that's what they always say. They use these passages to take them out of context. God says to the alien sinner, stop praying. Here was Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts, and his prayer came up to God as a memorial. He sent Peter to tell him words whereby he and his house could be saved. In other words, he had to obey the gospel of the Son of God. Well, another passage. Let me just introduce this, because this is the sugar stick. In Acts 2 and verse 21, here Peter on Pentecost was quoting Joel's prophecy. And it shall come to pass, verse 21, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there you are, preacher. If you just call upon the Lord, you'll be, well, that isn't what it says. It says call upon the name of the Lord. This has nothing to do with an audible call. Well, how do you know that? Well, two other passages particularly. Here in the context, you can see it also as you see what these Pentecostals did here in Acts, the second chapter. But turn in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. And here this is introduced again in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, what's this calling entail? It entails hearing and believing. And in Acts 22 and verse 16, why tirest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now look at it. Calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord, friend, is appealing to Jesus Christ, surrendering to him, turning to him, embracing him, obeying him. It's not a deathbed repentance, and some people teach this, that if you are dying and if you just call upon the Lord, your last breath, Lord, save me, Jesus will save. They don't have any promise of that in the scripture. This calling is not a mourner's bench text. It's not an audible call. It's a surrendering to Jesus Christ and obedience to his will, according to Romans 10 and Acts 22. Well, God also tells the persistent sinner to stop praying. I used to quote this in John chapter 9. And I made some adjustments on it. But in John 9 and verse 31, here's the man who was blind that was healed by Jesus. Jesus, you remember in the first part of the chapter, made some spittle and put on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and then he saw. The blind man says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, what kind of sinner is he talking about? Any and every kind of sinner? No, he's talking about persistent sinners. Let me say this to you, brethren, that God will hear a sinner. I mean one of his children who's a sinner. If he's got a penitent heart, confesses his sin. If that's not the case, you won't hear any of us. No use for anybody to pray to God. But anyhow, he's talking about a persistent sinner. And they were depicting Jesus as a sinner. Look at the context in John 9 and verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. In verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And the blind man reasoned that he can't be a sinner because he healed me. God doesn't hear a sinner. That is a persistent sinner. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28 and verse 9, the wise man said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So we don't listen to Jehovah and adhere to his law, our prayers are an abomination. In the 66th chapter of the book of Psalms, verse 18 beginning, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Will God hear a sinner? Yes, if he's a penitent child of his. Will he hear the prayer of a persistent sinner? No, sir. We can't live in sin and walk in sin and expect God to hear our prayers. He won't answer. What's tragic, brethren, you go to a hospital room where somebody is gravely ill, or a home, and the family can't even pray for their loved ones because their relationship with the Lord's not right. God won't hear that prayer. We can't live every day out here in the world, or part of the time, far as that goes, in life, in iniquity, in transgression of the law of God, and expect the Lord to hear our prayers. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, verse 2, the prophet said, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We always should be on talking terms with the Lord. But we've got to live a righteous life if we expect God to hear our petitions. Well, the unforgiving should stop praying. If I'm not willing to forgive my brother, God won't forgive me. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the model prayer, here's what our Lord said. And he's teaching the prayer, and he says, after this manner pray ye. And then in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So brother has malice in his heart, and envy towards somebody, bitterness, ill will, God's not going to forgive. I've seen brethren wouldn't even speak to one another. I've seen some preachers in years past wouldn't even make reconciliation. And here one come and try to get things worked out, and other just turn away. There was a couple older preachers, well known, who had a falling out. One day they met in an airport, crisscrossing, going to meetings somewhere. One went over, started over to him. He did go over to him. Said, let's get together and work out our difference. And he just turned and went the other direction. That's sad, isn't it? That shouldn't be. God's people, I don't care who they are, all of us ought to be ready and willing to forgive one another And if we won't, the Lord said that he won't listen to us. In Matthew chapter 5, if you bring your gift to the altar, of course, here's under the Jewish law, but the principle applies. If you bring a gift to the altar, and remember thy brother has aught against you, leave thy gift and first be reconciled to your brother, then come offer the gift. And the principle, brethren, is if we come to worship and our brother has got aught against us, if we've done him wrong, we need to get that corrected before God will receive our worship, our fully accept our prayer. Isn't that so? In Mark 11, in verse 25, when you stand praying, some of my brethren teach you got to bow to pray. That's fine. Sometimes we might get too proud to bow. But we make it a rule, and he said, all the way you can pray is if you bow or kneel. That isn't so. That's a good manner, all right. But when you stand praying, forgive. We won't forgive, God won't hear prayers. Brother George DeHoffen, a book of his, talks about years ago down here in Kentucky. There was two young men that went off to college together. They were roommates. And one of the summers, they were back home before they graduated. One was going to be a lawyer, another doctor, I believe, but they were back home in the summer, and they were... Some conversation was made in a doctor's office, how much smarter the one was than the other. And that got circulated around and blown out of proportion and caused a rift in that family. And that fall, they went back to school. They were enemies, wouldn't even room together. Well, they got their degrees and started in their practices, and they came back to this little place down close to Lexington, Kentucky. And one day they met in the street, and they got in an argument, and they drew their guns and shot one another. And one of them was heard saying in his dying breath, how foolish, how foolish, how foolish. Life's too short to have enemies. We should be one in Christ, unified together. Forgive one another when things arise among us. Well, let me throw in another one. The hypocritical member should stop praying. God won't hear his prayer. Here in the sixth chapter of Matthew, verse 5, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and shows how we shouldn't be in our prayers. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Here their long robes as these old pretentious scribes, Pharisees, as they stood among the people in pretense, make them believe that they were really godly and righteous. And they were inwardly as a sepulcher, full of dead men's bones. All of it was veneer. It was all sham. And yet they liked to stand out there in the synagogues or in the streets as they prayed. And Jesus said that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Jesus is teaching here to pray private prayers in private. Not talking about public prayer. I listened to this firing line, I think it's called, isn't it? On CNN, here's the liberal and the conservatives. You know, they always have guests. They were talking about Jimmy Swaggart here the other day. And here was this fella who doesn't know whether Jesus was crucified or shot at Bunker's Hill. That's how little he knows. It's obvious he doesn't know anything. But anyhow, he was talking about these fellas that these religious men, these TV evangelists said that they need to, if we're going to be religious, said the ones I have really respect for are those who do their praying in the closet. He said, I don't go for this institutionalized religion. Well, there's somewhat truth in all of what he's saying, you know. But he's talking about all religion should be personal, individual. It should be private. Well, there is private religion. But we come together like this, as the scriptures teach, for fellowship, for communion with one another and with God in the observance of the supper and praying and giving and teaching. And Hebrews 10, verse 25 teaches it. In the 12th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. Remind me some of the preachers today who like to have their robes. Why do religious people wear clothing like that? Did you see this old fisherman, Peter? He's just a common fella. He didn't put on clerical garbs or robes. Neither did Paul. But here's the scribes, these old hypocritical Pharisees. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. Good morning, Master. Good morning, Dr. Judah, or Jehu, or whatever. Like the fellas today, good morning, Reverend. You don't call him Reverend, he becomes rather, put out with him. He gets a little huffy if you don't call him Reverend. Call him Mister. He doesn't like that. He wants to be Reverend. Why? I saw Yeager Tant years ago. You see, REV, abbreviated before preachers. Tant said that meant rest, eat, and visit. I don't know what that's so with all of them or not, but there's some truth to that. Why does a man want to be called Reverend? Why does he want to be called Doctor in a religious sense? I'm not opposed to educators being doctors at the university, but brethren, when we doctor them in the pulpit, there's something wrong somewhere. Why can't we be just brethren in Jesus Christ? All one in Christ, members of the body. But when we do this, want to make people think that we're really dedicated and holy men, we're hypocritical. Now, how's that apply to? Well, let me read a little more. Verse 39, and they like the chief seats and the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. You know, sometimes we're a little hypocritical. Might be more than that. Ask somebody to lead prayer, he says, Lord, help us that we all come back at the next appointed time. Well, that's tonight. But that brother, he's home, whatever, mowing the grass or watching his favorite TV show. That's a hypocrite. God won't hear that kind of prayer. Brethren, that's pretense. Help us to come back at the next service, and we don't even try to show up. That's feigned, and God can see through that hypocrisy. And he won't hear that kind of prayer. Help us to worship in spirit and truth. And then we never participate. If we're going to worship in spirit and truth, we got to engage in the acts of worship and our minds focused upon those things in sincerity. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. is hypocritical if our hearts are filled with ill will and malice. We ask God to save the lost, but do nothing toward trying to teach them. We ask God to heal the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry. But then we close our hearts to their plea. We just sort of dump all the responsibilities upon God. God, we're going to pray. It's yours now. You take it. I've done mine. God says if we're hypocritical, stop praying. Let me ask you, my friend, are you on praying terms with God? You're not if you're not a Christian. Because God won't hear an alien sinner to answer his prayers unless he's seeking to know truth and right. Lord, lead me to the gospel. Lead me to the truth. I want to know what your will is. That's entirely different than an alien sinner says, Lord, save me from my sins. Or, Lord, I need your help in time of trouble. And we pray for these circumstances that come upon me. That's entirely different. Are you an erring child of God? Have you turned a deaf ear to his law? You can't pray to God. This morning as we sing this invitation, if you're subject to heaven's call, will you come, put on Jesus Christ, and God will hear your prayer. Listen to it again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Thanks be to God that he hears us. And in 1 John 1, verse 90, to confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's talking about his children who sin, not the aliens of the world. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you come today, be baptized into Christ? If you're an erring child of God, confess your faults and pray God will forgive, abundantly pardon. Today, today, my friend, come to him who pleads with open arms. Come to him who died for us. Will you come while we stand and while we sit?